tune for more. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP, 8:30 a.m. in Sandpoint. This is Austin Roof with some local news on Tuesday, May the 23rd, 2017. In an effort to move forward with the controversial Pebble Mine, the Pebble Partnership has announced that it's forming a new advisory committee to expand its engagement with stakeholders in Bristol Bay. KDLG's Dave Benninger has the story.
On Thursday, the company named the five members who have committed to join the new advisory committee: Willie Hensley, Kimberly Williams, Jim Maddy, General Joseph Ralston, and Terrence Rock Salt. Mike Heatwool is a spokesman for Pebble Mine.
We're putting together an advisory committee to help advise us on a range of issues regarding Pebble, everything from engineering to environmental design to community benefits and concerns.
Jim Maddy is a past president of the League of Conservation Voters and of the National Park Foundation. Terrence Rocksalt is a former deputy assistant secretary of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. General Joe Ralston is a former vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Kim Williams is a former executive director of NUNAMTA Aluxtai and a chief with the Kuriyang tribe. And Willie Hensley is a longtime Alaska leader who served in both the State House and Senate.
Willie certainly has a great reputation and level of experience in Alaska, is very respected in the Alaska Native community, and also has done a lot of work with the development community and kind of bridges a lot of different groups and interests.
Heatwool says one of the first tasks for these five will be to recruit others to form a 10 to 12 member committee. Members can receive a small amount of pay to compensate for their time, travel, and expense, but can also decline that if they wish. Pebble says the participants will not be bound by confidentiality agreements or any other limitation on their rights of public expression, including to speak in opposition to the controversial project.
We wanted to make sure that we had a range of views, everything from maybe proponent to neutral and process-focused to opponents, so that we're getting critical input and advice.
The EPA agreed to back down from a proposed preemptive veto, and Pebble agreed to put a project into the permitting phase within 2.5 years. Pebble says they have a smaller, modern mine plan in the works and a number of initiatives they want to talk about soon with the Bristol Bay region. Heatwool says the advisory committee will get to review these plans and offer feedback.
Their advice will be shared with the company, and we're certainly going to try to take as much of that on board as we can, and really pretty wide open in terms of what they can look at and the types of things they can comment to us about.
Pebble says they hope to get the committee members together for the first time this summer for a full project overview and a trip out to the site north of Iliamna. After that, the committee will meet formally 2 to 3 times a year, and more often by phone or video conference. Pebble has agreed to make the committee's work and their comments public, including any recommendations the company does not adopt. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.
A new resolution from the State House is focused on vessel traffic in the Bering Sea. Representative Dean Westlake, a Democrat from Kotzebue, is one of the sponsors of House Joint Resolution Number 19.
In a nutshell, what we're looking at is knowing who's out there, which way they're going, their speed, and trying to keep everyone in their own lane, if you will.
The goal is to expand the Polar Code, a set of regulations adopted this year by the International Maritime Organization to oversee the movements of international ships. Westlake says the new resolution would require vessels to meet more rigorous safety standards, whether they're stopping in port or exercising innocent passage through the Bering Sea.
And what it is if you're going through and you're not stopping at American port, you can have your own safety standards, safety codes, ship codes, whatever you want over there, or you can have the lack thereof. We want to see these safety codes in place for every ship that's going through, whether you're stopping or not.
Westlake says the additional regulations would help prevent spills, while a waterway safety committee made up of local voices monitors for compliance.
And what it is Alaska municipalities, marine mammal hunting groups, the Arctic marine ship operators. And what they do is promote and identify safe and environmentally responsible shipping operations for us in the Arctic area.
The Senate has to approve the resolution before it can go to the Governor Bill Walker's desk for approval. Senators will take it up during their next regular session, which begins in 2018, as the legislature is focused solely on balancing the state budget in the current special session. Tons of scrap metal are piling up in Southeast Alaska's smaller cities. Some have set up their own recycling or disposal programs, but as Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports, a new effort aims to make it easier and less costly to get rid of debris.
What do you do with a car not worth fixing, or a broken range, or an outdated wood stove? If you're responsible, you take it to the landfill if there is one. If you're not, you leave it on the street or push it into a ditch or a pit, or in cave country, even a sinkhole. Wherever it ends up, someone needs to deal with it.
In Klawak, we actually have about a 10-year stockpile of scrap metal that we haven't gotten rid of.
Leslie Isaacs is the city administrator for the Southern Southeast community on Prince of Wales Island.
Is it mostly junk cars or all sorts of stuff?
There's a classification of white metal, which is like your appliances, and then there's junk vehicles, and then just ferrous and non-ferrous metals are the other two major categories.
The same is true in Thorne Bay, about 30 miles to the northeast. City Administrator Wayne Brenner told a recent Southeast Conference meeting that sometimes folks leave more than metal.
A lot of people, when they do move out, they'll bring a freezer out to the solid waste sites, a lot of times still full of frozen fish.
The Southeast Alaska Regional Solid Waste Authority is taking on the problem. It's a coalition of regional governments that already set up a group discount for barging garbage south to a Washington landfill. Now, the authority is negotiating with Waste Management, a large trash hauling company that already operates in Alaska. The plan is to send a barge to collect the scrap metal, then take it south to be recycled. The authority, which is affiliated with the Southeast Conference, thought it had an agreement with another company about 2 years ago. Petersburg Public Works Director Carl Hagerman says it didn't work out because the value of scrap metal dropped by more than half.
But now that we're seeing that price rising, the viability, feasibility of a scrap metal trip for our communities is there again.
It won't happen immediately, but Hagerman says the communities want to be ready to respond quickly.
When the price starts to plateau, that's the time when we really look seriously at doing it to know if there is going to be a cost or even a payment to the communities.
The Solid Waste Authority will set a basic price for the service. Thorne Bay's Brenner says each city will then have to negotiate supplemental contracts.
Every community has a little bit different setup. They have a little bit different process in shipping. And some of us that are closer to the markets hopefully get a little better break than the ones further away.
Petersburg, Wrangell, and the Prince of Wales Island communities of Craig, Klawak, Thorne Bay, Kasan, Heidelberg, and Kaufman Cove are involved. Klawak's Isaacs says the group effort can make it work.
You know, if you can take the barge and make a complete circle through southeast and stopping at every community, is there enough metal there to make it worth your while? And getting to Petersburg, getting to Klawak, and sharing some of those fixed costs of the running the barge and the equipment, it would make it a much more cost-effective procedure.
No one's really sure how much metal needs to be moved, but the best guess so far is about 3,000 tons. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
That's it for the news for today in Sandpoint. This is Austin Roof. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM. You can check us out online, apradio.org. We have a whole bunch of great stuff up there.